Welcome to the Biz Design Enterprise Architecture Podcast. I'm your host, Will Hardison, and in these podcasts, we talk to leaders in the areas of enterprise architecture and how they and their teams deliver value to their organizations to advance strategy, optimize operations, and reduce and manage risks. Now, let's get down to business. Welcome to the Enterprise Architecture Podcast. I am your host, Will Hardison, one of the marketing managers here at BizDesign. Now, in today's episode, I thought it would be appropriate, given the time of year, to reflect on this year's top episodes. In fact, if you head over to our LinkedIn page, you'll find our year-end holiday brain booster campaign in full swing, which means over the next 4 weeks as the year ends, we'll highlight our top three pieces of content, including podcasts, webinars, guides, and blogs. Now, of course, if you've stumbled upon this podcast outside of the 2023 holiday season, you can simply scroll back and find the post linking to our top content. But before we dive into today's episode, I just want to take a moment to say thank you for listening. You are the reason why we do this podcast. Our goal is to help people just like you grow in their knowledge, gain understanding, motivate, and ultimately be a helpful resource in the enterprise architecture space. Now, just this year alone, this podcast has had close to 30,000 downloads, which is absolutely incredible. But we certainly could not have done it without you listening, sharing, and supporting the podcast. Now, I do have one small favor to ask, and it's really the only thing that's on my holiday wish list this year. And that's for you to leave us a 5-star review on the platform in which you listen to this podcast. A 5-star review goes such a long way in helping others just like you find this podcast. And if you could just take a quick second to leave us a review, I would greatly appreciate it. All right, now on to clips from the top three episodes from 2023. Now, first up, we have our fireside chat, which took place during our annual BD Connect conference. And if you're not familiar with BD Connect, it's our flagship conference featuring internal and external industry leaders. It takes place in the spring of every year. And in fact, we're already in the middle of planning 2024's BD Connect. So make sure you're on our email list to receive the announcement for when registration opens. This year's fireside chat was around the state of enterprise architecture. Here's a clip from the conversation.
And our first question comes from that survey that we did earlier this year, and we published the results that polled about 1,000 architects and architecture leaders from around the world. And our first question is around the top priority for EA. So what was interesting to us is that it actually ranked higher that for enterprise architects to demonstrate the value to the business, it ranked higher than actually delivering value to the business. And so that was a surprising result for us. And so clearly, it's a challenge for demonstrating value to the business. So this first question here is for Armin. I'd like to ask you, what are your thoughts on those challenges for demonstrating value to the business?
Well, I think, as blunt as these Germans are, typically, you know, my key take on this is if you're not able to demonstrate value, you are becoming irrelevant. You need to be a sparring partner to the business. You need to have a possibility to talk with them where they are, meet them where they are, but use our tools, our methods, our technologies to basically lift the discussion. Very often we are engaged coming from single use case problems, you know, the problem at hand that someone has. But we have a capability to abstract on a higher level. We see the patterns, we see the commonalities across and the reuse potential to provide meaningful architecture to go beyond. And then you are also able to demonstrate value. And you need to talk the language of the business. If you we are not in an ivory tower. Sometimes we get the blame that, you're a headquarter, you're in the ivory tower. But actually, we are not. We meet the business basically every day in our discussions and try to find solutions that meet basically the immediate needs from the business, but address the enterprise goals as a whole. So, and then obviously you get good credit for delivering value. demonstrated and delivered value out of what you produce. So that's my simple take. You need to be relevant, and you show it by demonstrating this value. Yeah.
Excellent. Yep.
I mean, have you also been given? Have you also been mandated by your management team as well to do so? Because I can see that that might also be like a problem in some organizations.
Well, we have a mandate for my role, and obviously that gets then kind of delegated to my team. We have a strong mandate for enterprise architecture in Hydro, and we have bodies that support basically the decision making. But at the end of the day, it's the decision of the head of enterprise architecture, for example, to allow certain technologies, to endorse certain architectures in Hydro, to meet business needs, and also to intervene, with a license to kill, if there is architectures proposed that are not endorsed and that are not supporting the target state that we strive for. So yes, we have a strong mandate, and we also defend that every day, but it's obviously a learning process. Yeah, you have some healthy friction because people have different opinions, and then this creative friction also leads to good results, meeting business needs but securing the integrity of our architecture.
Our next clip features Dave Arms, the EMEA Vice President of Enterprise Architecture at ServiceNow. So Dave talks a lot about staying mentally healthy, keeping in mind that humans use the systems we design, and embracing change. And, well, we certainly all know that change happens faster and faster these days. At ServiceNow, they actually use an acronym to keep things in check, which is LEAP, and it stands for Lean Enterprise Architecture for People. Here's a clip from Dave Arms' podcast episode.
And so what does that mean for how EAs need to operate now and going forward?
Oh, I think we've covered many of that. First of all, I think we need to stay healthy. I'll use Mo's term, reduce the stresses. You know, the level of complexity we could have to deal with, we do have to deal with, is just growing in every dimension. So I think everything we can do to reduce those is good. If our brains shut down, then as Kate Platanova said in one of her presentations, enterprise architects are big, complex problem solvers. And there's a lot of big, complex problems out there. So I think what we need to do differently is become much more connected to the why and the now. And what I mean by that is, the why is the motivation for change. Why are we changing? What do we need to achieve with this change? What does good look like? And really kind of understanding and doubling down on that part of the process. The now, the current technology environment is changing minute by minute. So how can we be more connected to that in terms of real-time information that we can see as it evolves? We can see if it's aligning with our strategies. Because we are going to need to make more decisions faster. And I don't think we can concentrate so much on always making the right decision, but we have to make the most right decision. You know, if I talk about the five V's of data, volume, velocity, variety, veracity, and value, for me, that veracity, that trustworthiness of the source, of all the points of view that are being expressed in the room, which one am I going to pick as the most pertinent, the most relevant to the decision I need to make? I think that's going to be our challenge. And Mo articulated it well in terms of there have to be challenging points of view so that AI can make a decision. We need to do that now, because our decisions, in my mind, need to be based more on risk and probability rather than studying longer to get to absolute fact. So more decisions faster. I think we need to simplify. I love a complex model as much as everybody else. But if you multiply the elements of the model by the elements in the architecture, by the various strategy, we're talking about something complexity growing even faster than artificial intelligence. And what was it, Mao said, a billion times smarter than a human by 2045 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Complexity can get there quicker, I guarantee it. And then the last thing I think is we've got to connect to the technology. We've really got to use it to help us understand and make those next best decisions. We've got to connect to where the data is of that real-time changing environment. And I think to a certain extent, we have to pave the way for some of the artificial intelligence technologies coming along, because we want them to become better at what we do. And as Mo said, helping them understand the context that we operate in will help them then to give us better answers. So I think really understanding how we leverage technologies, where the information is today, drive simple answers so that we can make faster decisions based on a better understanding of the why and what's happening right now, is really the shift that we have to think about. How do we make the world's just moving too fast for us not to keep up?
Yeah, and it's great that your team is adopting biz design to help with that faster understanding and mm-hmm. decision making. But when you engage with your customers, how do you make sure that you're supporting them with the right approach?
Yeah, I mean, using those core principles I've just described, really, it's kind of that one of the core values I talk to the team about is seek first to understand, focus on the why, truly understand what the need is, and then you will be most a good proportion of the way to discovering the answer. Then we really need to discover quickly, leverage what technology is there to discover the facts, and then engage humans in a very collaborative way to understand the perceptions. And I think those two together make up the overall discovered world. So going back to those core values from the Tom Peters, staying close to the customer, really understanding the motivation, the why, and the current environment that we're in. In terms of those loose type properties, we really talk about three methods and then a number of tools that we use to execute on those methods. So I talk about merging the art and the engineering. And for me, mm-hmm. human-centric design is the art. It's understanding that we need to build things that people want to use. People come to work now for a very different set of motivations and make much more flexible decisions as to where they go in the world. So how do we engage people in the enterprise, maximize their human creativity by giving them tools that just work in the way they want to work? So we've got to understand what good looks like for the humans. We've also got to do good engineering. So guided architecture is our Michelle Supper created a method for us that refined aspects of TOGAF more focused to what we do and enhanced it in a number of ways. And that's about good engineering, really making sure that we build resilient, robust, performant, capable systems and solutions. So bringing those two together, we then have a method that we call LEAP, which just stands for Lean Enterprise Architecture for People, that is effectively a set of recipe cards saying you can use the ingredients of human-centric design and guided architecture in these ways to achieve specific outcomes. And that's really for me about trying to drive scalability, repeatability, and the opportunity to learn. And then the bias for action is about, we want to share our vision of the ServiceNow value proposition. That's our organization. But fundamentally, what we're trying to do is to help people get from vision to action so that we can actually help them deliver great outcomes. And then the technologies there are obviously we use our own platform in many, many different ways, using biz design to help us get that perspective and really make that discovery process more interactive and the models more flexible in terms of how we can work together. But I think it is just applying those core principles. Stay close to our customers, exhibit those loose type properties, do things in a consistent way, but not necessarily exactly the same way every time, and then really maintain that bias for action. That's what's crucial for us, is we want to engage with people, understand their motivation, and then help them see the art of the possible from their and it's working at scale all over the world. So we're very pleased with that.
And finally, our friend Dan Warfield, who schools us on how to set up a successful enterprise architecture practice. Dan has decades of experience working for small businesses to large enterprises and everything in between. Needless to say, he's learned a thing or two about setting up and managing successful enterprise architecture teams. Now, I don't want to spoil it for you, but spoiler alert, it's about clear goals and alignment. But don't take my word for it. Here's a clip from Dan's episode that explains it in greater detail.
Identifying big rocks is next. And what do you mean by that?
Well, what I mean by that is that So I'll tell you a story. Someone who worked for me, or who I was a mentor for, actually said to me, I'm applying for this other job in the company, and I put this little resume together, and what do you think of that? And I looked through it, and I said, well, what are they trying to do? She said, I don't understand. I said, well, actually, the only reason they posted this job is because they want someone who can help them with something.
Yep.
Do you know what they're trying to get done? And she was like, I never thought about it that way. Well, you should, because that's how that works. And so if people, an EA team is an expensive strategic investment. It is not something that comes into life overnight. And the people are expensive. The training is expensive. The tooling is expensive. Somebody should have made a decision, if they're trying to do that, about what they expect that team to help them with. And I had a meeting with a team we were helping. I work with an international group of people who do this kind of consulting. And we were helping a team at a U.S. regional bank last year to try to raise their game. And we said, so tell us, describe the corporate strategies and goals. What are they trying to do that you should be helping them with focusing on? And they didn't know. They said, well, they don't tell us that. Then you should go and ask them.
Yeah.
Because if you don't know that, if you don't know who the people are who are sponsoring you or who are on your side, then you won't actually know what to do next.
No, that's very true. I mean, if you don't understand what they want and are looking for in the end, you're just kind of running in circles, right? And it doesn't matter if you have yourself or if there's 15 people on a team. I mean, you are all just running in endless circles and nobody really has a clear vision, right?
That's right. And if you are an enterprise architect type of person, it's very easy to identify lots of things. One of the CIOs I worked for said, I'm not worried about the low-hanging fruit. You can see the pumpkins on the ground. Let's start with those. And it's really important to clarify that, because in any big organization, it's easy to quickly find dozens or hundreds of things that look like they need attention desperately, but most of them are not the really important ones to the stakeholders.
Yeah, we actually use a saying, and we didn't coin it, but we use a saying on the marketing team here at BizDesign: if everything seems important, nothing is important.
Right.
You know?
That's right.
So you've got your scope, you've got your big rocks,
yeah,
and then defining a minimum viable EA capability.
Well, yes. And so the EA capability, and this is a textbook enterprise architecture stuff, is that you need to understand what the scope is for your team's existence. If you're the enterprise architect, what enterprise is that? Is it your whole company? Is it your local part of the company? Is it something that includes your company and other organizations, which often happens in public sector? So you need to know that. You need to know what are the sort of, as I say, big rocks, the things you have to deal with to be successful in the short to medium term. And then you need to look at yourself and say, what needs to be in place for us to do that? That includes, first of all, setting up some kind of a governance framework that makes sense. It includes picking the right methodology and the right tools, which could be software and probably should be software if you have the maturity to know what to do with it. It should include skills training or hiring people. who have skills that you need. So if the issue is that we need to get control of the, well, there's a, at Walmart, Walmart was challenged by Amazon. The brick and mortar big store business was under threat from Amazon. And there was a perception there that it was the kind of thing that makes people want to get an EA team to look at the big picture, come up with a strategic change suggestion that we must do something about this, because we didn't have e-commerce. We had big box stores everywhere, really, really successful ones. But Amazon's like the big threat. So
yeah,
is that the big rock? Is that why you're there? Was it something like that? Is it we're terrified of AI? Is it we want to grow the company by acquisition, and we want to understand how we're going to integrate other companies? So things like that, and those are usually enterprise architecture kinds of topics. The bank we were working with last year is trying to move most of their core applications to the cloud, and that's a complicated process. It's also perhaps informed by a misunderstanding of what you're going to get when you do that. That's a different question. But so to define the minimum viable EA capability is to say, what is the governance model that we can use? What kinds of decisions that do we need to make? What skills do we need to bring to the table? What tools and methods will we have to use to get this done?
That is going to wrap it up for this episode, highlighting our top three podcasts from 2023. Again, a friendly reminder to please leave a 5-star review of the podcast. And in fact, we're currently building out our guest list for 2024. So if you'd like to be a guest on the show or know someone who would, just email podcast@bizdesign.com. Have a wonderful and safe holiday season. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next year in a future state.